When the Washington Department of Ecology issued a statewide drought declaration in early April, there were a lot of questions, even some skepticism, about the declaration and the rationalization used by the department. To talk about ecology's decision, I recently sat down with DOE's Caroline Miller to talk about the science that goes into a decision like this.
So in Washington State, we have a state law that defines drought conditions. And there are two parts or two thresholds that we call it that must be met. The first is a water supply threshold that it will call a hydrologic threshold in technical terms. And that's important because the state law defines drought as less than 75% of normal water supply. And that's really important because drought is not just about dryness or total amount of rain, but about how different factors come together to lead us to understand water supply. And I'll say a bit more about that in just a minute. But then we have a second criteria or threshold that has to be met, and that's a hardship threshold, that water users or the environment are expected to experience undue hardship from these water supply conditions. And so to go back to water supply for a minute, there are multiple factors that we look at to figure out if the state is facing less than 75% of normal water supply. And one of the really important factors in the majority of our watersheds here in Washington is snowpack. And I like to recap for folks why snowpack is so important. So first, in a normal water year, we would see a good, healthy snowpack develop throughout winter and then stay with us through spring and then gradually melt in spring, summer, and fall to make water available in rivers and streams for people, farms, and fish. However, this year, throughout winter, we did not develop a good snowpack. In December, we had the warmest December on record, and that's the record going back to 1895. And then throughout our winter, it was either warmer than normal, or the times it was cooler, it was drier. And so when we declared drought back on April 8th, we were looking at 50% of our normal snowpack. And so that gave us information right then on what we're going to be seeing in coming weeks and coming months in rivers and streams in many parts of the state. Because if you don't have a good snowpack serving as natural storage for our water, then that's going to lead to lower flows and less water supply in our rivers and streams.
So, Caroline, how does the Department of Ecology determine what counties are included in a drought declaration?
Yeah, so we look at the different factors in different watersheds. And I also want to highlight, it's not just ecology deciding this process. We have multiple committees that we coordinate with. One is a water supply availability committee, where we have representatives from different agencies, including different federal agencies that look at different angles of technical information on water supply. So we're coordinating with different folks from a lot of different perspectives. And then going back to your actual question, we're looking at what are the different water supply factors and what are the conditions we're seeing in different watersheds across the state. But then in areas that are not driven by snowpack, we're also looking at precipitation and soil moisture. And see, it's not just about how much rain has happened in total, but in many parts of the state, where if there's too much rain all at once, that's actually not useful because then it can't be absorbed into the ground and the soil moisture, and then all runs off too early, then runs off to the ocean, and then is not going to be useful to us when we need it the most in late spring, summer, and early fall.
Now, one question we've heard here at the PNW Ag Network, Caroline, is the Canadian snowpack. Canadian snowpack looked pretty good, which feeds the Columbia River. So people have asked, well, why is there a drought declared for eastern Washington? Why exactly are those eastern counties under the declaration?
Yeah, great question. So it is very true that eastern British Columbia was the one part of North America that was looking great for snowpack this year. However, when we declared we were looking at the full watersheds that also have tributaries that lead into the Columbia, and so in the parts in Washington State of that on both sides of the Columbia where there are tributaries that lead into it, those watersheds, we are seeing impacts. So for instance, you know, a big one we often talk about is the Yakima. And the Yakima does lead into the Columbia. But basically, if you look at a map of the state where the Columbia is, it is true, the Columbia itself, we do not expect to see drought impacts. But for all of the watersheds that lead into it, we do expect to see impacts, and we are already seeing impacts. And many of those tributaries and rivers and streams that lead into the Columbia. And then with another part of your question, for parts of eastern Washington that are what we call rain-dominant watersheds that are not influenced by snowpack, after the last, this is now the fourth year of drought for some parts of the state, but in some of those areas, we have seen multiple years of precipitation deficits. And so we also included those areas in the state for concerns about how those precipitation deficits or lack of cumulative rain can affect dryland farming or fish. And so there's multiple types of impacts we're looking at here.
Caroline, I know a lot of farmers across the state wonder this. When ecology is looking at determining a drought declaration, are the needs of fish or farmers or municipalities, how is that, I guess you could say, ordered? How is that ranked?
So when we're looking at that hardship threshold, the second part of our drought definition, we're not weighing one above the other. We are looking at, has a one of these hardships been met? And that is relevant for areas both on the east and west sides of the Cascades. And I highlight that because we've gotten a different version of that question over in the Metro Puget Sound area, where, well, the reservoirs that serve the areas for the utilities of Everett, Seattle, and Tacoma don't expect issues for their customers. We do have concerns for fish there. So we pulled those areas into the declaration. And so it's to say that if we expect one of impacts to fish or agriculture or public drinking water and domestic usages, then that counts as meeting the hardship threshold. However, I do want to highlight and clarify a piece with the drought declaration that might get at some of the misconceptions we get, and that I think it might be underlying that question you're asking, is that the drought declaration itself is about triggering specific types of relief. A drought declaration is not how decisions are made for curtailment or for restrictions. Those are entirely separate processes that also have different decision-making processes depending on which watershed or which river or which water source. But a declaration is about triggering relief. And that there's two main types of relief. One is that ecology can expedite processing of certain types of applications for temporary changes or temporary permits for those that are water right holders. And it triggers opening of emergency drought response funds, where ecology then has grants that folks can apply for if you are with a city or county irrigation district, conservation district, or a tribe. And so I highlight that because you were asking about, you know, questions from folks in the agricultural community about how with a declaration, if fish or ag are weighed differently. And it's really, I think, and in some ways the opposite, because it's about making relief available to agricultural folks. And one thing we've heard really clearly in past years is if we wait until July and August when conditions are dire, then it's too late for folks to make good best use of the relief available, versus if we declare in April, once we have the necessary information about snowpack and what we're seeing so far with precipitation deficits, then that allows folks who are looking to use the relief triggered under a declaration for that relief to actually be useful to folks this summer.
So, Caroline, what at this point is the outlook look like, and when might the declarations be lifted?
So, yeah, this with the declaration issued in April, relief is currently available. Folks are welcome to apply for grants at this point in time. And if folks have questions about grants or the relief available, they're welcome to reach out at any point. We can help people walk through What are the types of projects that could be a good fit? And the current drought declaration is in place to April 7th of 2027. And that is really because we have it in place to give time to see evidence of drought recovery. If this winter turns out to be amazing in terms of snowpack building, it is possible we could rescind sooner. But with current projections for El Nino being very likely, I highly doubt that will be the case. But really, it's about the declaration will be in place through summer into fall, and folks are welcome to apply for the relief available under at any point this summer.
Caroline, I have no doubt there's a lot of assumptions out there, especially out on social media, about drought declarations, about numbers, about everything in between. When you're talking to just John Q. Public about the drought situation for 2026, what are some of the common misconceptions that you hear and you want to address?
Yeah, so I think a big one is what I was just saying, but I want to emphasize, again, a drought declaration is not how decisions are made in terms of curtailments if you're a water right holder, or it's not how decisions are made for restrictions. That's going to look different in different parts of the state. And those decisions are made for curtailments at our region office, depending on different factors for different rivers and watersheds, or is made at a level of your water provider. So if folks have questions, if there's going to be restrictions this summer, that's the question you want to direct to your local water provider or your irrigation district. As well, we are already seeing or expect to see drought conditions across the state. The magnitude is going to look different in different parts of the state. And two other things I will highlight is for folks on the east side, one thing we often hear is that, oh, it's always dry over here. This is who we are. But when we talk about drought, we're talking about less water supply than normal. And you've heard me say normal a couple of times here, and as we've been talking. And so when I'm saying normal, that specifically refers to as compared to the average of the last 30 years. And so that those normals are created on a federal level by NOAA, that National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. And so there's a specific thing that we're comparing to, and we say compared to normal. And so again, drought isn't just, oh, it's dry. It's there's less water supply than compared to what we would expect to see compared to the average of the last 30 years. And well, I'll give you an example of that. And I'm pulling up some forecast from the River Forecast Center, which is also part of NOAA. And they put out forecasts for the April or now June through September period of time for many rivers across our state. And so I'm going to give you a percentage. Again, that's saying compared to what is the average of the last 30-year period. And so we're seeing over on the Colville River, a 29% of normal for this summer and into September. 29% is very low. Over in Spokane area, the Little Spokane is projected to be at 55% of normal for the June to September period. And if we're looking at the Yakima, there are sites that are predicted to be at 49% of normal. Or over in looking at Walla Walla, there's 67% of normal at Mill Creek. So across the state, and those are just some east side ones I gave you for your questions, we're seeing these projections for way less than normal stream flow. And I highlight that so it's not just about, oh, it's drier in the east side, we'll call drought. There's specific indicators we're looking at about, hey, even in areas where it's not snowpack driven, the rivers and streams have these forecasts from a technical perspective of being way less than 75% of normal. I'm going to give you one more for that question. Is another question we've gotten a lot is there are areas where there are full reservoirs. And so one thing I like to remind folks with that is A, every reservoir has different management or operating procedures. And I mentioned that with the utility reservoirs that serve the utilities of Everett, Seattle, and Tacoma, they don't currently expect issues, but while we have concerns for fish, we declared there. But another piece I like to remind folks is in the Yakima Basin, which is a huge agricultural area, and there are five reservoirs managed by the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. And combined, those five reservoirs have about 1 million acre feet of storage. However, the irrigation and municipal and legal fish demand the reclamation has to meet is about 2.5 million acre feet. And while I'm sure some folks in your audience have an idea of what acre feet means, not everyone does, but even if you don't, a gap of 1.5 million acre feet between how much the reservoirs hold and what the irrigation and fish and people demand is a pretty big number. And so the way the system has been set up is for snowpack to make up that gap. However, in years like this, where we got such a poor snowpack, it's not able to make up that gap. And that leads reclamation to having to start using the storage earlier than they otherwise would have in non-drought years. And it leads reclamation to issuing that those that have a pro-ratable type of water right, which is specific to the Yakima Basin, they have already announced that this year, those folks are going to get 52% of their water allotment. And that's where Irrigation District and Yakima Basin are already making management decisions to deal with essentially getting half of their water allotment. And in non-drought years, they have gotten 100%. And so that's a real impact where they're having to make decisions about how to try and stretch their water. And we know that fruit trees need late season water to make it through winter. And there's a lot of fruit trees in the Yakima Basin. So they're already having to make tough decisions.
And Caroline, if I'm not mistaken, this looks like we're going to be in the fourth year of a drought designation.
This is the fourth year in a row that some portion of the state has been under a drought declaration. We encourage folks to think of this as, by this, I mean drought driven by a low snowpack and warm winter, or what in our world we call a snowpack drought, to be part of who we are here in Washington. And there are projections looking out towards the future that we've gotten from our university partners that say that by 2050, which is not that far off from now, that we'll see a snowpack drought 7 out of 10 years going forward in Washington. And I say that because I think we had this idea of always having plenty of water in Washington, or having, you know, great irrigation systems on the east side that makes up for being a little bit drier. But I think it's important to think about these conditions as not just a one-off, but part of who we are. And while the drought relief under a declaration is focused on emergency response and addressing emergency water supply issues, but it's important for folks to be taking this time to also think about, what does a drought preparedness look like for me or my system? And that doesn't mean, you know, not having a great agricultural economy, but all can mean thinking about, what are low water use watering practices? Or for just everyday folks, thinking about drought tolerant plants or low water use watering practices for your garden. So, you know, our agricultural economy and our fish are so much a part of who we are, but there's still ways to think about, what does drought preparedness look like in the long term?
Once again, Caroline Meller with the Washington Department of Ecology.